Are we good? Awesome. Welcome, everybody who's watching on live stream. We want to thank you very much. Do you have my phone? Where'd you go? Thank you, so I can communicate to people. I'm going to do a live, and we want to make sure that you have the opportunity to ask questions. Tonight's a really important chapter because, as we all know, the Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, I change not. Jesus doesn't change, but we need to know that God has changed in how he's worked with man. This is important for us to understand because God has interacted with man differently in different seasons of times. So let's take the Garden of Eden. Who was walking with God, with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day? God was. God the Father. He was with them, walking with them, communicating with them, having a relationship with them. But when sin came, we then saw a change in how God interfaced with the people. So in the garden, he's walking with them in the cool of the day, but now that sin is in capacity, he can't walk with them in the cool of the day any longer, but he still has a relationship with them. It's just a different type of relationship. And God is still drawing his people. So God would minister to them, love them. We know according to the book of Exodus that they created what was called the tabernacle. And in the tabernacle, there was the Holy of Holies. And there was something called the Shekinah glory. Has anybody ever heard of the Shekinah glory? Shekinah glory was literally like a beam of light that came right out of the heavens. Boom, right into the Holy of Holies in that part of the tabernacle. And it literally shone just right in there. And it was the presence of God being magnified in one location called the Shekinah glory. Isn't that cool? So they always knew God was with them because the Shekinah glory was present in that area. So we then know that after Adam and Eve and after the Shekinah glory, that God started, he would every once in a while do what's called a theophany. Everybody say theophany. What's a theophany? A theophany is where Christ would appear in a physical form before he was born through Mary. I had to figure out her name. Through Mary. And so we saw that with Jacob wrestling with the angel. That angel was not just an angel. That angel was actually Jesus Christ. We know also with Samson's mother, he made a visitation with Samson's mother. We also know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. There was three that were thrown in, but yet Nebuchadnezzar said, but I see a fourth man, and he's like under the Son of God. So here we have what we call theophanies, where Christ appeared, but the main one working with the people of that timetable was still God the Father. Then Jesus Christ appeared. Who's Jesus? He's all God and all man in the same body. He was born of a virgin, and he had to have the God component, and he had to have the man component, and he had to be from the descendant of David. And in that, what happened was Jesus Christ, the Messiah, worked with mankind for 33 and a half years on the planet. So for all the time before, God the Father was working. Once Jesus Christ appeared, Jesus came in the flesh. Jesus Christ worked with mankind for 33 and a half years. And then Jesus died and rose from the dead. And the Bible said that he sat on the right hand of the Father. When Jesus ascended on high, the Bible says in John chapter 14 and 16 that God sent the Holy Spirit. Who's the Holy Spirit? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three yet. Called the triunity of the Godhead. So the Holy Spirit appeared and started and is now still today the main person of the Godhead that's working with mankind on the earth. Now, how many of you are born again in the room? The Bible says, anybody, amen, that's a good sign. I was going to give an altar call in the back there. It's important to know that if the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, he is God. That literally, the Bible says, you become the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we walk by faith and not by sight. These are the children of God who are led by the Spirit of God. So as we understand who is working within us right now, God the Holy Spirit, we need to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. A lot of people don't know anything about him. In fact, most people call the Holy Spirit an it. Well, I don't know about you. I wouldn't want to be called an it. How about you? Hi, who are you? Well, you're an it. Now, would you want somebody to call you an it? No. How would you like to be God and somebody calling you an it? This is about relationship. The Holy Spirit is all God. He is 100% God. Holy Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three yet one. So the Holy Spirit is God. He dwells, inside of you, and as he's dwelling inside of you, he is the person of the Godhead that's working in our lives right now. So we've got to know him. We've got to have a relationship with him. And this is where a lot of believers do not understand who he is, and because of that, what happens is they no longer have a relationship with him. They don't listen to him. They kind of just float, and that's not the plan of God. Whoop, sorry. Wow, I'm getting gray. Isn't that horrible? Okay. Yeah, it's horrible. Sorry, couldn't be there tonight. I'm sorry too, Donna. How are you, Zena, Charlene? Let me see. Who else? Susan, Kay, Miss Kay. Okay, so we're in chapter 3, the Holy Spirit of book 1. They are available, I believe. Where'd the young man go? We do have some available. If you would like to have purchase one, they're, I think, $13, and they're available tonight. Okay, so as we know, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says in John chapter 14, verses 6 through 7, but because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage, Jesus said, that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, who is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So it's important to know that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. So tonight we have the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, he dwells inside of you. But also he can come upon you. How many of you have you've been in the middle of worship and you felt the presence of God come on your body? That's the Holy Spirit. So we have the Holy Spirit. Not only does he live inside of you and he's always resident within you, he has taken up residence inside of you, but also he will come upon you. So knowing the Holy Spirit and how he works is so important. And that's what we're going to start talking about. And prayerfully, I'm going to try to finish tonight. How's that sound? When I was a kid, it was interesting because when I was a child, we sang about the Holy Spirit. There's an old song, come Holy Spirit, I need thee, come sweet Spirit, I pray. How many of you know that song? It just says how old you are. Amen. That song is an old song, and we used to sing that. But what's amazing is it's almost anti-biblical. He's already here. It's amazing we ask for things that we already have. We already possess them. If the Holy Spirit dwells in you, where is he going to come to? He's already there. And so we've come to a position where, as the body of Christ, we really don't understand who he is. You know, it was very interesting to me as growing up. We were never taught to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Auntie, I don't think we ever were. In fact, it was almost like you ignored the Holy Spirit. Because his job was to bring glory to Jesus, so you didn't talk to the Holy Spirit. You didn't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You kind of just ignored him. You wanted him to come. Come, Holy Spirit. But when he got there, you didn't really know what you wanted him for. Why is he coming? Why is he here? What is he doing? You see, we've got to know who he is. You know, I want to encourage you. There's a book that I want to really want to strongly encourage you to purchase. It's called Good Morning, Holy Spirit by Benny Hinn. I don't care if you like Benny Hinn or don't like Benny Hinn. That has nothing to do with this book. Oh, it is. The book is on YouTube. You can actually go on YouTube and they'll read the book to you, correct? Will they read the book to you? They'll read the book to you on YouTube. So go to YouTube, type in Benny Hinn, Good Morning, Holy Spirit, and they'll read it to you for free. How many of you don't like to read? Don't raise your hand. So, I mean, if you don't like to read, they'll read it for you. I'm just kidding. They'll read it for you. And so I want to encourage you, you need to start listening to that tonight when you get home. Good Morning, Holy Spirit by Benny Hinn. Now, the reason that I really want you to start learning about him is because who's the giver of the gifts? The Holy Spirit. Who draws somebody to salvation? The Holy Spirit. Who brings healing? The Holy Spirit. Who brings the voice of God to our life? The Holy Spirit. So if you don't know him, who are you listening to? It's amazing how the Holy Spirit has been ignored for centuries. But he is God. So when you talk to the Holy Spirit, you're not offending God the Father, because Father, Son, Holy Ghost, they are three yet one. And God, by Jesus, sent him to us to live in us and to work and perform certain things in our lives on a daily basis. So you need to know how the Holy Spirit is working every single day in your life. So the Holy Spirit on a daily life, the Bible says, Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. So the Holy Spirit will help you become obedient. There's two amens, hallelujah. Can I have a third amen out there? The Holy Spirit will teach you, he will teach you how and give you the power to live a holy life. So people say to me, well, you know, I keep trying, but I just can't seem to break that habit. You need the Holy Spirit. You need to identify the Holy Spirit stronger in your life, and you'll find that the power or the grace of God will be released so that you'll have the power to overcome every evil thing that tries to come into your life. The Bible says in John chapter 14, verse 17, and the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So you notice the Bible didn't call him an it. The Bible calls him a him, because he is God. So the Holy Spirit dwells in you. You are the temple. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? What's it mean to dwell? Dwell. What's dwell mean? Come on now. That means you walk in your front door because you have the key. That's right. You live there. You walk in the living room. You throw your shoes off. You throw yourself back on the couch and you go just like this. Ah, I'm home. That's the Holy Spirit. He dwells inside of you. You and I are his home. His home. He's not a guest. This is his home. You and I are his residents who have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. So it's exciting to know that literally, not figuratively, you are possessed. Amen. When we think about possession, we think about demons and heads spinning in circles. And how did I do? Pretty good? You think about someone manifesting demon spirits. But remember, the devil only counterfeits. He's just a counterfeiter. God's first plan was to live inside of man. It wasn't the devil's plan. It was God's plan. And he started to counterfeit. Why? Because God needs a body to work through, and so does Satan. And so you and I, literally, not figuratively, have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. He literally lives inside of you. He's thrown his feet back. He's laying on the couch saying, this is my home. This is where I dwell. 24/7. Now that is a little concerning, especially if you're not living right. Can you imagine Jesus literally walking with you side by side on a normal daily basis? Come here. You're Jesus tonight. Ow! So wherever I go, give me your hand. Wherever I go, there's Jesus. Come on now. So all of a sudden, you decide you want a drink. So you take him into the local pub. You order yourself a whiskey sour. Sit back and say, you want one? So you drink it. Who else is drinking that? Oh. Where are you putting God? In the bar? Come on. You get home. You get on your computer. And you flick on a little porn. You look at the Holy Ghost and say, she's cute. What do you think?
No.
No. You wouldn't do that, would you? Come on now. This is where we make decisions and understand that this is not figurative. Wherever you and I, as born-again people, go, that is where the Holy Spirit is. So that's why we've got to come to a great awareness. This is not like an old covenant situation where only the prophets, the kings, and the priests heard the voice of God and were in the presence of God. But literally, you and I, because the temple veil was torn in two when Jesus Christ died on Calvary's tree, that literally now we can come into the throne of God boldly, and literally the Holy Spirit dwells in us. So wherever we go, whatever we do, we think we're hiding. You're not hiding. You can hide it from your mother. You can hide it from your father. You can hide it from your wife. You can hide it from your kid. You can hide it from your dog. But the fact is, you can't hide it from the Holy Ghost because he dwells inside of you. Amen. Amen. And that's why, you know, if literally Christ literally was walking next to you, some of you would talk different. You'd drop less F-bombs. Amen. You would think different. Say amen. Amen. Come on now. No one knows your thoughts but the Holy Ghost. Amen. This is where the change comes. Because literally when we start understanding this, our mindset changes from being God living up in heaven to where now we are literally carrying Christ in our spiritual man. And wherever we go, there he is. So we think different, not because we're afraid somebody else is going to, but we have a relationship with the Lord, and we have the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we don't want to put the Holy Spirit, we don't want to put God in any position that we wouldn't want him in if he was standing here in the flesh. He's standing here in your flesh. Ooh. He's standing here in your flesh because you are the temple. Literally, you're housing him. So I love the fact of this transition in our spirit, this transition in our mind, because now we think different, because now it's not, well, God's sitting up there, we're down here, but literally, he lives in me, and wherever I go, whatever I do, whatever I say, you ever been around somebody, and they cuss in front of you, and they go, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, oh, sorry. Oh, I know. But it's amazing is, what about what we do? Oops, sorry. I'm sorry, he already heard you, even though it never came out of your lips. Bible says we're naked before him. That would scare any God. Amen. Amen. That would scare any God. So there's a need to have this understanding. The Holy Spirit does specific things in our lives every single day. If you don't know him, you don't identify it. Recently, I was talking to an individual who was able to locate relatives. How many of you have ever done that DNA test thing? I did that. And I don't know, I found out that I'm Jewish. I want y'all to know I'm 2% Jewish, so I'm at least 2% blessed. Amen. We thought we were Native Americans. Yeah. We're not. We're English. Amen. That's my aunt. So it's amazing to you know, huh? How many years we were told, how many years we were told we were Native American. Yeah, and isn't that crazy? We are Englishmen. I know, neither did my father, still doesn't believe me, and even though I showed him the proof. So it's, you know, the fact comes down to is, if you don't know who you are and you don't know who your relative is, then you don't talk to your relative. You don't listen to anybody that you don't know. So even though there are a lot of people born again, they don't know the Holy Spirit. They know about the Holy Spirit, but they don't know the Holy Spirit. How many of you know there's different levels of relationships? There are acquaintances. What's an acquaintance? That's somebody, you know their name, you're nice to them, you wave at them, you know, you'll chat with them. But then you have friends. A friend you're going to spend a little bit more time with. You're going to share a little bit more about your relationship. You're going to, you know, share with them maybe some things that are going on in your life. You're not going to get too deep, but you're going to get deeper than an acquaintance that you're just waving at. But then you have best friends. And those best friends, and they say if you've had two in your entire life, you're a very rich person. And by the way, if you're married, your spouse should be your best friend. Amen. And so as your best friend, you're going to share the most intimate things in your life. You're going to share the deepest emotions of your life. You're going to share the good and the bad with their life. And they're going to know you, and you're going to know them. In fact, you know what? I don't have to say a lot to my wife right now. When I walk into a room and I have a certain face on, she'll look at me from across the room and go, and I know what that means. You're a dead man. Has anybody ever just walked into a room and your spouse looked at you and you knew you were in trouble and they never said a word? The more you're in relationship, they don't even have to twinkle their nose. They just get this glimmer, and you know you're dead. The other night, on Sunday morning, my wife starts touching my arms. You know, she wanted me to shut up during that meeting. So she started squeezing my arm. And what are you squeezing my arm for? I love that. But it's amazing, you know, we have little things. She's my best friend. I know her. So she never said a word to me, but she went like this. She was speaking to me without words. And because I know she's my wife, I knew what she was saying. That's why I called her out on it. I know what she was saying. If you do not know the Holy Spirit, then how are you going to know when he grabs your arm? See, this is that relationship that we've got to build, because how we hear from God right now is by the Holy Spirit. When we learn the voice of the Holy Spirit, whether it be from the Word of God or whether it be from the voice of God, then you'll start to learn what he wants you to do. You're going to start listening to him. For these are the children of God who are led by the Spirit of God. Acts chapter 8, verse 29 says this. Then the Spirit said to Philip. Who said? The Holy Spirit. Go near and overtake this chariot. So everyone's thought is, like, did he go, hey, Philip! Philip! Was it an audible voice? Or was it the still small voice of the Holy Spirit that prompted him? And he heard in his spiritual man. Now remember, you have five senses in your natural man. What are they? Sight, smell, sound, touch, and taste. Five senses. But in the spiritual man, you have six. You can see in the spirit. You can hear in the spirit. You can get touched in the spirit. You can taste in the spirit. And you can smell in the spirit. And the sixth one is you can know in the spirit. It's called your knower. That's the ability to know that something, you just know something's going on. Your knower, you've ever walked up to somebody and you just knew that they were born again. They never had to say a word to you. Or you knew they were full of the devil. You didn't have to say a word to them. You just felt that. Well, that's the knower. So in the spirit, you have not five senses, you have six senses. And the problem is the Holy Spirit uses those six senses to speak to our lives. So whether it be a still small voice or whether it be just a little push, sometimes the Holy Ghost will go just like this. Sometimes he'll say, hey, don't do that. And you'll feel it down in your spirit man. Other times, the Holy Ghost will just go like this. And it's not that he's actually physically pushing you, but you'll feel a nudge from God. Go over there. Go over there. And you're saying, I don't know why I feel like I need to go over there. But it's the nudge of the Holy Spirit. That's him talking to you. You'll learn his voice. You'll learn how he speaks to you. You'll learn how to hear him if you pay attention to him. Have you ever ignored somebody before? Isn't that amazing? Everybody said yes. They can be speaking. How many have ever talked to somebody and they have just talked for so long? You just looked at them and finally you were gone. You were outside cooking on the barbecue and, you know, you're just somewhere, man. You're gone. What happens is they can still be talking, but if you ain't listening, come on, just because somebody hears, let me see, just because somebody listens doesn't mean they hear. So you learn the voice of the Holy Spirit so that now all of a sudden when he speaks to you, just like he did with Philip, he could overtake the chariot, he can get the man born again and get him baptized so he can take the gospel back to Egypt. Or Ethiopia. Acts chapter 10, 19 to 20. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, who said? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So you're going to find the Holy Spirit many times will start speaking to your inner man. That still small voice, that nudge, that little nagging voice. Is it me? Is it God? 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 And you'll just, listen, if you've gone back and forth three times, you know it's God. And all of a sudden, you'll start learning his voice to where now he can actually tell you where to go. He can encourage you. He can direct you. Now, I want to remind you, he also uses the word of the Lord. The Bible says, the letter of the law killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So when the Spirit of God speaks a word to you, it's not called a logos or written word anymore. It's called a rhema word or living word. So it's amazing that he will direct you in the Bible as well. I was dealing with a situation in my life, and I was contemplating because I had the ability to take some actions that would not have been conducive to the other person. And my flesh really wanted to take this motion, and it would have made me feel great. And so I was listening to the book of Revelation, and I was listening to the last chapter, and it said, let the evil be evil, let the foul be foul, let the righteous be righteous, for Jesus is the righteous God and will judge each man. In other words, do nothing. Don't do anything. And I got up, I had been listening to it in bed. I think that morning I was up at like 4 a.m. and I just turned on the Bible, listening to it. And that verse came to me as I was just meditating on the word. And I went, man, it's right in bed. I said, man, that's not right. But that's the voice of the Holy Spirit through his word. So you've got to be in his word or he can't even speak to you. You know, there are people out there, they say they've heard from God. Yeah. Hi, Alan. How are you? All the way from South Carolina. I've had people say to me, well, you know, the Lord spoke to me. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me to do this or this and this. And I look at them and say, that's not the Holy Spirit. Oh, they get mad. How dare you tell me I haven't heard the voice of the Holy Spirit? And I said, well, it's very easy. The Spirit and the Word always agree. The Holy Spirit will never contradict the Scripture. And the Scripture will never contradict the Holy Spirit. One person said to me, well, the Holy Spirit told me to leave my family and go on the road as an evangelist. It was a mom. She had three children and a husband. And I looked at her and said, that's not the Holy Spirit. Oh, she got mad. She left, by the way. She bugged right out of here. Because how dare you tell me I'm not hearing from the Holy Spirit? Well, it's easy. How dare I? The Spirit and the Word always agree. The Holy Ghost is not going to divide your family. Amen. The Holy Spirit's not going to take the wife out of the house so that the children have to be raised without a mom. That's not God. Somebody else said to me, well, the Holy Spirit told me to leave this church. And I said, okay, you know, if that's what the Lord spoke to you, where are you going to go? Well, the Lord told me to go to this church. And I said, but that church has very bad doctrine. And they said, well, it was called a Jesus-only church. Anybody ever heard of a Jesus-only church? They're a church, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three yet. They don't believe that. They don't believe in the triunity of the Godhead at all. And all women who have ever cut their hair, any women in here ever cut their hair? you're going to hell. Any women got makeup on? You're going to hell too. Any men got makeup on? You're going to hell too. So that's what they believe. And I looked at her and I said, that's not the Holy Spirit. She says, how dare you tell me that I'm not hearing from the Holy Spirit? I said, it's very easy. God will never take you down. He will only take you up. God will never send you to a place that has bad doctrine after you've been a place with good doctrine. Another man said to me, he says, the Holy Spirit told me to go to this church to help the pastor because that pastor doesn't understand the Holy Spirit and God has sent me to teach him. And I said, that's not God. That's not the Holy Spirit. And he said, well, how dare you tell me that's not the Holy Spirit? I said, brother, the anointing flows from the head down, not the feet up. God will never send you to teach that pastor how to flow in the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit never will go from the feet up. It's head down. So if the pastor doesn't believe in the moving of the Holy Spirit, you've got to submit to the pastor because that pastor is the father of that house and the anointing flows from the head down, not the feet up. How dare you tell me I'm not hearing from God? It's very easy. The Spirit and the Word always agree. The Spirit and the Word always agree. The Spirit and the Word always agree. Now, come on. Now, we're going to get into a little chant now. The Spirit and the Word always agree. Come on now, right online. I want to hear you. The Spirit and the Word always agree. The Spirit and the Word always agree. That is very important for you to get in your heart. It is extremely that simple. Because what happens is, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, or you think he is, and it doesn't line up with Scripture, that's how you learn what voice is not God. Or, I'm really not passing gas, that is my shoe. Listen, hear that? It's a horrible sound. I was in leadership training today, and I stepped back, and I went, I said, oh, no, that really wasn't me. Sorry, I just had to clarify that. Come on, everybody online. The Spirit and the Word always agree. I want to hear it. There we go. Alan, very good. Thank you. So this is important. Now, if you're reading the Word of God, if the Lord says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Come on now. I'm getting a little playing now. If you love me, keep my commandments. But then you say, well, you know, I just don't want to obey God in this area. Then you're literally telling the Holy Spirit, stop talking to me. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit speaks through the Word. So when you're choosing not to obey the Word, you're telling the Holy Spirit, leave me alone. Amen. So learning the voice of the Holy Spirit is everything for you and I to stay safe and to stay living in the promises and the blessings of God. The next thing the Holy Spirit does every single day in our life, the Holy Spirit will teach us. John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I have said. 14, 16 through 17. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, and he may abide, by shout abide, abide, that means dwell with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So the Holy Spirit is our teacher. Now, I'll just tell you my thing this morning. I was praying this morning. I was up early, and I was in the man cave, and I'm dealing with something in my own heart, in my own life. How many of you know you got stuff we're all dealing with? And I said to the Holy Spirit, I said, I need you to teach me in this. I need you to teach me if I'm wrong or I'm right. Now, I know what the Word says, but this isn't talked about like straight up in the Word of God. So, Holy Spirit, I need you to teach me. I need you to teach me how to think about this. I need you to teach me how to walk in this. I need you to teach me what to do in this situation because I don't know. The Bible says that Jesus is a great counselor and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ that lives in us. I need you to counsel me, Holy Spirit. I need you to teach me. I remember when I was first learning about the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the laying on of hands and the releasing of the anointing, the releasing of the power of God. I remember saying to the Holy Spirit, I need you to teach. In fact, I still pray this. Holy Spirit, I need you to teach me what happens when I release that anointing on the congregation. In fact, can you just show me that in color? That's what I've been asking for. Show me that in color. I want to see, I know in the spirit that it's released, but I want to see it in color. I want to see where it goes. I want to see how it touches people. I want to see how it moves in the different sections of the church while I'm preaching. Holy Spirit, teach me these things. I want to see them. I want to understand them. And the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. He wants you to learn. He wants you to know how to move in the spirit. Now, the Bible says in Corinthians, oh, let me find it real quickly. Turn there real quick. I'm not sure if it's first or second. Real quick. There we go. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and it says this, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen and ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Now, I want you to hear me now. Eye hasn't seen and ear hasn't heard. Neither has entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared. If I say prepared. So God has prepared for you blessings. We know how God prepares them abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. So of your greatest imagination, God has better things than you can even fathom or even imagine. But you see, there's only one way those things are revealed to us or taught to us. And the Spirit of God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So the Holy Spirit is the one that will teach you the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit is the one who will teach you how to hear. The Holy Spirit is the one who will teach you how to flow. The Holy Spirit will be teaching you how to share the gospel. He wants to teach you. So the Holy Spirit not only is the one who talks to us every day, but he's also our teacher. The Bible says he's also our guide. John 16, 12 and 13. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, if I say he, when he, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Now, what's amazing to me is the Holy Spirit is that guide. These are the children of God who are led by the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Have you ever turned one of the a TV station on or a YouTube on or some other preacher on and you're listening to them and your spirit man just starts cringing? You just feel it. What that is, who that is the Holy Spirit guiding you and showing you what is not truth. I remember one time I was at a very large conference with very, very large names. I won't even tell you where I was. And this preacher who had flown in on his jet, I went down to the the tarmac with one of my friends, and they had picked him up, and they brought him up for the service, and he stands up there to preach, and he's a phenomenal man of God. That's why I'm not saying, but he's a phenomenal man. But he stood up from behind the pulpit, and he said, tithing is not for today. It's an Old Testament principle, not for today. And all of us just went, it was the hardest hour I went through. Well, the next morning, his oversight got up and simply said, we love him, but he's wrong. And our spirits went, yay. Not because of religious teaching, but because the Holy Spirit will warn you when bad stuff is being spoken. And in the last days, the scripture says, heresy will increase. What is heresy? Heresy is preaching against the Bible, saying it's what God is saying. And there's a lot of heresy out there. That's why, can you clap for yourself? Clap, everybody clap, 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 clap for yourself. This is for you. Turn to someone and say, you are a brilliant individual. Amen. You know why you're brilliant? You've chosen to sit in class and learn. It's called being a disciple. The Bible says very clearly, our job is to make disciples in Christ Jesus. What is a disciple? A disciple, the very Greek word, is called pupil. What's a pupil? Pupil is a student. And a disciple is this a disciplined student. And I love what it says in Timothy. It says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So what happens is a disciple is trained. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they remain steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in prayer, and one more, and in food. Amen. God added food to the conversation. Amen. So they remained in the steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. There must be teaching. We are to make disciples. Amen. That's what Christ has called us to do. We are disciple makers. Discipleship is the mind of God. In fact, he never told us to go out and win the lost. He told us to make disciples, to make pupils, to bring discipline and direction and learning. That is what Christ mandated in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. And the Spirit of God will guide us into that truth. He'll direct us into that truth. And when you're in a position, in a place that is wrong, you're going to feel that. When you hear a message that's not biblical, your spirit man, because who dwells in your spirit? The Holy Spirit. Who's the Holy Spirit? He is God. He's going to say, hey, child, that's not right. That's not right. And you're going to feel uncomfortable. Now, if you're in that position and heresy is being preached and you don't feel uncomfortable, you're in a bad spot. Amen. If you don't feel the teacher teaching you good and bad doctrine, especially when it's bad doctrine, you better be worried. That means your conscience is being seared. That means you're no longer listening and being directed by the Holy Spirit. That's a dangerous spot. Say amen or oh my. I would say oh my if I were you. Amen. The next thing the Holy Spirit does, the Spirit can stop people from making dangerous decisions. Acts chapter 16, verse 6 and 7. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden. Isn't that interesting? They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After that, they came to Mysia. They tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Isn't it interesting to realize that the Holy Spirit so directed that he actually protected the men and women of God? Don't go there. Don't do that. Stop. I said stop. So many of us, because we don't listen to the Holy Spirit, cause our own issues. Amen. We cause our own problems. When we feel that of the Holy Ghost, we override him and do whatever we want to do. Now, that can be as deep as literally dying before your time. Or it can be as shallow. I'll give you mine. 1995, I had a beautiful dog, a big old chocolate Labrador. Is anybody in the room not alive in 1995? Oh my goodness. You were 4 years old? Dear Lord. Wow. I had this beautiful dog on April 2nd, my birthday. My dad came to visit me. I used to pastor up in Newfield, and our house was right across from the garage on Route 13. And my dog, we didn't know it, it was in the middle of the night. When my dad came in, my dog left. My dog went outside. Looked just like Benelli, just smaller. Yeah. Walked outside, and in the morning, he's always there. I mean, he was always there at my door, and the dog's not there. And I couldn't figure out where the dog was. And I said, that's weird, man. He's always there. So I walked out. He wasn't in the house. So I opened the front door, looked up at the road, and there he is. He got hit by a car out on the road. And so I had to bury him, and we couldn't bury him. All the ground was frozen. So we threw him in the middle of a little island in the middle of a field. And so here he is. My dog is dead. And in 1995, Corinne was going to be born in the month of June, June 25th. So Rhonda was quite pregnant. And my dog is dead, and I believe every man should have a dog. So I looked at my wife and I said, every man deserves a dog. And she said to me, no. And I looked at her and I said, every man deserves a dog. So I got online and I found a beautiful chocolate Labrador. And my wife, actually, they did. It was AOL. AOL dial-up, and I actually had a Macintosh. Yeah, come on now. Dial-up. I still have dial-up. I live in the country. And so here I was. I found a dog. It was up in Penn Yan. So I went up to Penn Yan, and on my way to Penn Yan, the Holy Spirit said to me, don't do it. And I said to myself, every man deserves a dog. And I just felt that don't do it by the Holy Ghost. Don't do it. Don't do it. And I said, every man deserves a dog. I overrode the Holy Ghost all the way to Penn Yan, and I bought that dog. I brought him home. He was an awesome dog. But what God knew and I didn't was in July of that year that I was going to resign that church. And I was going to move into a two-bedroom apartment on Water Street with three children, a brand new baby, two boys under the age of five, a dog, and a mother-in-law. And a wife. Yeah, I had to bring her along with me. I did. Well, my mother-in-law, you know, she's unforgettable. And so here I am, we're now in this apartment, and I'm traveling full-time as an evangelist starting in August. Well, that's a problem. Now this dog that is a beautiful dog, the problem is, who's watching the dog? This is a problem. Who knew that? The Holy Spirit knew that. I didn't know that. So I said about a week and a half ago, I sat in my chair in my man cave, and I realized this is the first time in 53 years I have not had an animal. And I said to my wife, every man deserves an animal. And my wife said to me, no. I said, I'm going to get a cat. Well, you know the story then. The story is that we paid for the cat, and this cat wasn't cheap because my daughter-in-law is allergic to cats, so therefore we couldn't get a normal cat. We had to get one of those hypoallergenic cats, which cost $800. So I paid for this kitten that was going to be delivered the next day via airplane and paid $800 the next day. I'm waiting for the cat to be delivered, and I get an email that says your cat is in Georgia and you need to pay another $925 so that the insurance can be paid for and you need to do it via Western Union. And I said to myself, you overrode the Holy Ghost again, you stupid idiot. So I turned around and Thank God we're able to get the money back. And I said to my wife still, now listen, I knew I'm not supposed to get an animal. I knew the Holy Ghost saying, don't get an animal. You travel too much. But I said, every man deserves an animal. I got another cat. I found this kitten all the way up in Albany, and I said, that's a beautiful cat. I went out and bought $160. Cat stuff is expensive. Bought $160 worth of cat stuff, and that's not even the good stuff that moves the poop. What do they call that? Litter. Buy all the stuff. I'm all ready. The cat's supposed to arrive in March and go up to Albany and get it. And I knew. The Holy Ghost kept telling me, don't get a cat. Don't get anything. Don't get anything. You travel too much. You're not around. And then somebody says to me, you can't get one cat. You have to have two cats. You're gone too much. Yeah, and we got a lot of fox and coyotes. And so all of a sudden I'm realizing, I got to obey the Holy Spirit. And so you know what I did? I brought all that cat stuff back, got my money back in my pocket, and my wife looked at me and she says, now you put a $100 deposit on that kitten. I'll give you $100 if you cancel that kitten. And I felt the leading of the Holy Spirit at that very moment. And I said, amen. So I canceled that kitten. She gave me $100. I feel Jesus. Hallelujah. But even down to the basics of a dog or a cat, the Holy Spirit will lead you. Let him lead you. Amen. The Holy Spirit intercedes for you. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Holy Spirit helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit himself makes intercession for us. That's, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You need to get filled with the Holy Spirit if you're not. And what will happen is you will find that God will start using you and that God will use you to pray for things you don't even know it to pray. The Holy Spirit can agree. John 15, 26 and 27. When the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. So the Holy Spirit can agree, will agree with God, will agree with you. The Holy Spirit has a mind and thinks. John 8, 27. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. The who? The mind of the Holy Spirit. What does the Bible say? You have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ and the mind of the Holy Spirit always agree. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2, 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So if you don't know the Holy Spirit, how are you going to know the things of God? The Holy Spirit loves. Romans 15, 30. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ, that through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. The Holy Spirit makes decisions and exercises his will. 1 Corinthians 12, 11. But one and the same Spirit works these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. The Holy Spirit comforts us and counsels us. John chapter 14, 16 and 17. And I pray the Father that he would give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, and he dwells with you and will be in you. He comforts you. The Holy Spirit is the supernatural baptizer. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Acts 2, 4. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit also is the distributor of the supernatural gifts. We find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 through 11, that he distributes them as he wills. The Holy Spirit also is the one who brings conviction. What is conviction? Conviction is God telling you, don't do it, or you did it and it's wrong. Anybody here ever felt conviction before? It slides on the line of guilt. You ever felt that guilty feeling that is just like, ugh, you feel nasty, you feel ucky. You know that you, come on now. Nobody else knew, but God knew, and you feel that. I got that nasty feeling. Whoa, that nasty feeling. I've got that nasty feeling and it just won't go. That's conviction. Conviction is important. Turn to someone and say, conviction is my friend. It is the truth. John 16, 8 through 11. And when he come, that's he's talking about the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of sin. Conviction is powerful. Now, there's a major difference between conviction and condemnation. Conviction is when you're either getting ready to step into a sin and the Holy Spirit says, don't do it. You feel that restraint. You feel that Holy Spirit say, don't do that. You know that if you step over there, if you step right here, you know that you're going to regret it. You know that it's going to be sin. You know that. That's the Holy Spirit convicting you. Also, conviction is if you have stepped over, you feel that really huge amount of guilt and shame. That's conviction. Conviction is your friend. So conviction is either before you're getting ready to sin or just after you've sinned, before you've asked for forgiveness. How many of you know asking forgiveness is very wise? Amen. The Bible says if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. You see, and he was talking to Christians. He was talking to the church. John was speaking to the church that when we sin, we can be forgiven. Can I hear an amen? So when conviction comes on your life, it's very wise to respond to conviction. Don't wait for the next week to respond to conviction. Listen, have you ever cussed? And when you cussed, you just felt, man, you felt dirty. Your response should be, Holy Spirit, Jesus, forgive me. I ask that you forgive me of my sin. Wash that sin away. That's the best part. You know what's interesting is, before you're saved, how many of you know you sinned at least twice before you gave your heart to Christ? Way more. Well, that's good confession. Amen. Thank you. Do you realize that if you had to confess every single sin you ever did, you might forget one and go to hell? When you have been convicted of sin and the Holy Spirit is drawing you to salvation, what you're actually asking forgiveness for is the rejection of Christ. Because there is no way for you to confess every single sin. So you're repenting from your sin. You're repenting from your rejection of Jesus Christ. That's what salvation is. But after you're saved, you need to confess your sins that he puts his finger on. And some of you know what I'm talking about. It's stuff that nobody else knows about. And every time you sin, as a believer, how many of you know you don't have to sin? How many of you know that if you sin, you chose to sin? How many of you know the devil made me do it? No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that you are no longer slaves or servants of sin. That Christ has set you free from sin. The only sin that has power in our lives is the sin that we override conviction for. And once we've sinned, thank God, he's faithful and just to forgive us if we confess them. Amen. That's conviction. Conviction is awesome. We need conviction. When you are no longer feeling conviction, you are on the position of being reprobate. What is reprobate? Reprobate is when you no longer can tell the difference between right and wrong. There was a couple that were living together and they were telling me, well, you know what? God looks at our relationship and he knows we're married. I said, you're not married. Well, I don't need to be like married before the government. I said, yes, you do. The Bible says obey the laws of the land. Well, there's no well, and it's not going to get any deeper than this. The fact is if you are not married and you're living together or having sex, that you are in fornication. You are in sin. And the wages of sin is, even if you try to convince yourself that it's not. Amen. And so what happens is, the more you override the conviction of the Holy Spirit, your heart gets harder and harder and harder. And no longer will you even hear the conviction, because now you have justified your sin. I had a couple say to me, they said, well, you know, we've been living together all these years. There's no way for us not to live together, Pastor. There's no way for us. I mean, we've been living married, like married, for all these years. I said, but you're not married. I said, tell him to go live in that room, and you live in that room, and the twain don't meet until you say, I do. Well, that's just unrealistic. So you're telling me that sex is worth going to hell over? Well, it got quiet in this room. His brother Ted would say, silent night, holy night. Glory to God. But it's not just that. There are sins that we have in our lives that we know. The Bible says, the sin that so easily besets us. We all have a sin, that one sin that we struggle with more than anything else. And it's different for each and every person. But we've got to remember that if we keep overriding the voice of the Holy Spirit, our heart will start getting hard. And then when he convicts us, we'll have justified conviction away and justified our actions, even though it's sin and we know it's sin, we make God agree with us. He doesn't agree with us. He doesn't agree. God cannot agree with sin, or God can't be God. For either God is holy or he's not. So your friend is conviction. Tell somebody next to you, I love conviction. Tell somebody else, I love conviction. Conviction is a great friend of yours. Now, the other side of conviction is called condemnation. Condemnation is never from God. Ever. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So, I want to remind you, conviction is when you're coming to the place of sinning and you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Don't do that. Stop. Or after you've chosen to sin, you feel that guilt and shame, and the Holy Spirit is saying, now confess your sins, and I'll wash them away. That's not what condemnation is. Condemnation is that guilt feeling after you've already been forgiven. Let me say it one more time. Conviction is just before you sin, or just after you've sinned, before you've asked Christ to forgive you. Condemnation, which is never from God, is after you've been forgiven, now you keep feeling guilty for something you've already been forgiven for. That's not God. People have said to me, well, I can never be who God's called me to be because of this sin in the past. God says, what sin in the past? I've thrown it as far as the east of the west, and I don't even remember it anymore. Now, condemnation comes from three different areas. Number one area it comes from is yourself. There are many people that bring condemnation on themselves. Well, you know, that's who I am, and that's what I've always been, so I guess, you know, God can't use... No, Jesus washed your sins away. You're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. There is no tethering from the past. That is condemnation. The second way that condemnation comes is from other people. My nickname in high school was Hands. And it's not because I was a good basketball player. In these days, I'd probably been in jail. But in those days, you just run up behind a girl and you grab her hiney and pinch it really good and keep running. It's a different world. So when I was not living for God, my nickname was Hands. And it was just a funny thing. Everybody's laughing about it all over the school. And we put mirrors on our shoes and, you know, all that kind of stuff. We were just boys. And then I got saved. God changed my life. March 13th, 1983, approximately 11:31. I gave my heart to the Lord. I went off to Bible school. I remember coming back the very first semester. My mom and dad are walking with me. We're walking to the Friendlies in Gardner, Massachusetts. And one of my friends from high school comes up, "Hey, Hans, how are you?" And my mother looks at me and says, "What's the nickname Hans mean?" Yep. So sometimes condemnation or guilt from the past is brought up by somebody else. So the first one that usually brings condemnation to your life is you. The second person who brings condemnation into your life is usually a friend or somebody from your past, especially if they don't like seeing you growing in Christ. And the third one that brings condemnation to your life is the devil. God can't use you. Come on, you know who you really are. You know what you were. You know what you did. Man, God can't accept you. God can't use you. That's the devil. Or as it would say in The Waterboy, that's the devil. It's not God. So condemnation is never from the Lord. If you've been forgiven for that sin, you've been forgiven. God throws it as far as the east of the west and remembers it no more. That means every time you bring up your past sin, God goes like that. What's he talking about? Because he doesn't remember. So when anybody, whether it be yourself, whether it be somebody from your past, or whether it be the devil, tries to throw your past in your face, you need to remind them of your future. I'm saved, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized. I got a call in my life. God's going to use me. God's put gifts in my life. I can't wait to share Jesus with somebody. Man, I tell you, when you really realize who you are unstoppable, the supernatural church. Amen? All right, I'm going to stop there. Next week, we'll start on page 26. Amen. Does anybody have any questions? Did I do okay explaining it this evening? Okay. Next week, I'm going to show you what the Holy Spirit does not tolerate and will not do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Conviction is good. Say it out loud. Conviction is my friend. That's right. Conviction is your friend. When you're no longer convicted, you are in a dangerous spot. That's the number one key to fall on your face fast and get your heart right with Jesus. Conviction is your friend. No questions? Yes. I don't see any. I didn't see any notes. Brother Ted Shuttlesworth.